is where we will be, Acts chapter 2. Right in your Bibles, in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we read, "Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Let me read verse 4 once more. Just that first clause, it should be underlined in every Bible. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." This current series is about the church. And we sort of gave our introduction last week. We don't want to be necessarily like just any church. We don't just want to come together and whatever we do, we just call it church. We want to be a true church. And by that I mean, we want to be a true and proper representation of Jesus Christ in the world. I have said so many times, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But then he looked at you and he looked at me. He said to us, "You are lights in the world. You are reflections of me as you live lives on the earth." We want to have a church like what we see in the book of Acts. A church, well, we read it in verse 4, filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll emphasize this towards the end of our discussion tonight. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't sort of that group over there, this faction right here, this half of the church, but not that side. It was all of them because they were in one accord. They had gathered together. They were of one mind and of one heart. They were there to bring glory to Jesus Christ. They were there in obedience to Jesus. Really, before we go any further in chapter 2, we need to go back to chapter 1 and be reminded of the promise. Jesus, as he stood there with his disciples, he was about to leave them. And he had told them before, "Look, I'm not leaving you like orphans. I've got a job for you to do. I have ministry for you to accomplish. There's so much for you to do. I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving you helpless. I will pray my Father, and he will send the Holy Spirit." And as he stood there on the mountain with them, They looked up at him, not wanting him to go. They looked up at him, really actually, quite confused about the whole situation. "Are you going to set up your kingdom now? What's going on? What are you doing?" And Jesus brought them back to really the fundamentals that he wanted them to remember. He says to them in verse 5, "John truly baptized with water." And some of the disciples had actually taken part in the baptism of John the Baptist. So Jesus said, "Yeah, he baptized with water. Some of you here were baptized by him. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And he goes on, and in verse 7, actually verse 8, he says, "When this takes place, you shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." I love this. The work of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine. The work of the Spirit in the life of every believer. Jesus had spoken about it in John, I want to say it's chapter 14. He had talked about the Holy Spirit, how he is with you, but he will be in you. Here he says he will come upon you. You see, the Holy Spirit was with each and every one of us. He was with us, drawing us to Jesus Christ. Except for the Holy Spirit, we would never come to salvation. There is none righteous, no, not one. None seeks after God, we are told, in the natural, carnal, fleshly state. We're lost. We don't even understand that we're lost. And we're not even looking for the Savior who can save us. We are lost without any hope. But the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. And He leads us and guides us. We all have our testimony. We all have our story of how we came to Jesus. We might even say how we found the Lord. And truly, it's how the Holy Spirit brought us to Jesus, where Jesus was waiting. We were then saved. And the Holy Spirit, okay, once He was with us, but now He was in us. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You are guaranteed a place in heaven because the Holy Spirit dwells within you and has sealed you unto the day of redemption and salvation. When the Lord from heaven looks down upon the earth, His eyes, as we are told, scan to and fro, looking for people whom He can show Himself strong on their behalf. When He looks down upon the earth, He sees those who are His, who are sealed by His Spirit, and then He sees those who are not His, who are not sealed by His Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit was with us, bringing us to Christ. When we receive salvation, He now indwells us. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. But that's just the beginning. You know, we spent weeks and weeks talking about sanctification. See, it's one thing to be born again and to start your life in Christ, but it's a whole nother thing to live your life in Christ and to set yourself purposefully, committedly, devotedly on that road of sanctification, of surrender, of consecration, where you decide in your life, the flesh now is going to take a back seat, and I am walking in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, then you should live in the Spirit, as Paul says in his letter to the Galatians. But now Jesus tells us here in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He is speaking to His people. He is speaking to His followers, His disciples. He is speaking to people who the Holy Spirit does indwell. And now He brings sort of a third facet of their relationship to the Spirit. It's one thing to be indwelt, but it's quite another for that power to begin to overflow your life. It takes on many names in the church, depending maybe what denomination you're from or what group you associate with. We talk about being filled, being baptized with the Spirit. We talk about being overflowing with the Spirit. I don't care what you call it. What's important is that we understand that we need it. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And it is important that we understand sort of our relationship with the Spirit. And so often we wonder, okay, the Spirit, what is this? Is this the force of God? What is going on here? What is the Holy Spirit? Well, truly the question should be, who is the Holy Spirit? He is a distinctive person within the triune Godhead. There is God the Father, there is God the Son, and then there is a third person. There is God the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand that. He is not Jesus, He is not the Father, but He is God. They are one God. But they are three distinct persons within that great mystery of the Godhead. And I love how Paul so candidly admits, great is the mystery of God. I don't understand it. I don't expect you to understand it, but it's marvelous. It is glorious. It is something incredible. Because if I could grasp God, if I could really put Him in a box and just understand everything about Him, then why would I worship Him? It is because He is transcendent. He is far above me. He is greater than I. He is my maker. I am not His. And therefore, I am drawn to Him that I might worship Him. And so Jesus says, you need to know the Holy Spirit. And He's sort of introducing them to someone they will meet in about 10 days' time. He is telling them, the Holy Spirit will come upon your life. You are sealed by Him. You have been saved because of Him, as you have accepted me as your Savior. But there's going to come a point where now He will erupt in your heart. Remember Jesus in the Gospel of John talked about the rivers of living water flowing forth from your heart. That is what is going to take place, because Jesus has work, has ministry, has service for His people to accomplish in His name. And He certainly did not want them to do anything in His name without the Holy Spirit helping them. That's why He says, go into all the world, but first, go wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. And I suppose as we turn back to chapter 2, we should emphasize the fact that there was a reason that they had to wait. And I'm all for waiting on the Lord even in our day. But they were literally waiting for the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon followers of Jesus for the very first time, something that had never happened in spiritual history previous. Well, that has taken place. For you and me, as Jesus said, we simply must ask. Ask and you will receive. For if an earthly father, being evil, knows how to give good gifts to his kids, how much more does your heavenly Father? How much more will He give you the Holy Spirit if you would simply ask? See, it's all about just surrendering, like we've been talking about for so many weeks. Surrendering yourself to the Lord and say, okay, you're in charge. The Holy Spirit then comes upon you and you are empowered for service in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, in verse 1 of chapter 2 now, we see the church gathered together on the day of Pentecost. Now, this reminds us that the church here is exclusively Jewish. Here is the very birth of what we would call the church. And every single person who was here on the birthday of the church was a Jewish messianic believer. And it would be that way for some time. And so we see here they're gathered on the day of Pentecost. See, that's a Jewish holiday. That's one of the seven feasts we read about in Leviticus chapter 23. They're gathered together on this holy day. And the Lord pours out His Spirit upon them. Something takes place that day that had never happened in human history. And the church would be born. And so there's some things we want to understand here as you and I have gathered here this evening. We call ourselves the church. And it's important that we understand the role and the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives individually and in our lives as a congregation and as a church. It tells us here they were all with one accord. They were gathered together in one place. We sort of looked at that last week. The importance of unity. The importance of gathering together in one mind and in one heart. In other words, when we get together, rather than complain about the song they didn't sing, or the song that they did sing, or the way the pastor presented his message, or the way something looks in the church, or the way someone treated you or acted toward that person or just something, we rather say, it's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus. And so when we gather together, if all of us gather here and Jesus is first, if we are gathering here not as a social club, but as a community involved in the worship of Jesus Christ, if that is the priority of this church and the people of this church, then we will be able to love one another and, as the Bible says very honestly, bear with one another. And it says that more than once. The Bible is not ignorant of the difficulties and the conflicts and the tensions that arise within churches. It's been that way since the beginning. But if a church is truly founded upon Jesus Christ and is yielded to the Holy Spirit, we will then be able to overcome those things. Because it's not about me, it is about Him. And He has asked me to love that person, to bear with him, to deal with her, and to pray that I might be a godly witness, that we might love one another. John said, "Beloved, love one another." It's so important. It is key. How can we go out with the gospel if we do not go out in love? Love is key in the Christian life. It is love that is a great testimony, and it is love which drives us out as we leave to have a desire to impact the community at large. See, if I have not love, then I am not concerned about someone else's need. I'm not concerned about someone who needs the Lord Jesus. I'm not concerned about someone who needs my help. I'm not concerned with doing anything that requires the giving of myself unless I have love. So I come week after week back to church, where I am reminded of the cross of Calvary, where I see Jesus high and lifted up, and hopefully we repent of our callousness. We repent of our bitterness. We repent of our resistance to the love of God, so that we might say, Lord, okay, I'm going back out again, and I'm refreshed, I'm recharged, I'm reminded of your love, which I did not deserve, so I'm going to share that love with someone else, even if I think, oh, they don't deserve it. Well, if I didn't deserve it, but God shared it with me, where is the conviction that that should bring? Shouldn't that convict me? Shouldn't that convict the church? That as I look at the Lord and what he did, for God so loved the world, for he so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten son, that I would have life. His son died so that I would live. And then he tells me, okay, if I spared not my own son, why do you think I would withhold anything else from you? I desire to bless you. And I see this love. I see this grace. I see the grace of God. Just as Noah, when he looked at God, he saw grace in the eyes of the Lord. When I see that grace, when I am face to face with that love, hopefully there's the conviction that, oh, the person sitting next to me in the pew, or the person over on that side of the church, or the person in my neighborhood or in my work, whatever it might be, I haven't been loving them as I should. They haven't seen the love of Jesus in me for them. Making it personal, making it practical. See, it is love that should draw us together, and it is love that should send us out. This is the basis, the fundamental thing of the church, is the love of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to help us live that life of love. Because it's not natural to us. So often we might think, oh, I'm doing okay. I'm a pretty lovely person. And yet, those things arise. Problems come our way, there's a conflict, there's something going on, and I snap, I explode, I let somebody have it, or I tell them what for, and I give them a piece of my mind. Hopefully I'm not the only one who's done that. Well, hopefully as Christians, we're convicted of that, and we understand I'm not naturally a loving person. We love ourselves, we want the best for us, but the Lord would want us to love others and esteem others even above ourself. See, that's church living. That's the Church of Acts. Mountain View Baptist Church. Is it primarily, if I can step on the pastor's toes, is it primarily a Baptist church? Is that the most important word on the sign? Or is it a church founded in the name and upon the foundation of Jesus Christ? What is the most important thing? It's the Lord Jesus, and we need to understand that. Jesus is why we are here, or it's why we should be here. So let us be reminded of that whenever we find ourselves failing and falling in that way. Let us remember, just come back to the cross, come back to Calvary, come back to his love, his grace. Okay, Lord, if you could love me, and hopefully if we look in the mirror, we can be honest with ourselves and say, okay, I wasn't lovable. If you could love me, Lord, okay, help me to love that person that I struggle with. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to do that. Now we read here, they were gathered together, and an incredible thing happens. The room begins to shake. Some huge rushing wind blows through the windows, and it's loud, and it's bright. There's fire, something of like a fire setting upon the heads of these disciples. We read there's about 120 people, men and women, gathered in this place, and suddenly a miraculous sign is given to them that the Holy Spirit has fallen upon his church. The church is born. The church is now being empowered to go out and fulfill the great commission of Jesus Christ. And in verse 4, we come back to it now. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. See, this group of 120, there was not one that was holding themselves back. There was not one that was holding on to the flesh rather than indulging in the Spirit. These were people who were all together. They were all in harmony. They were in one accord. They were together in one place. And the Holy Spirit was poured out upon these people, each individual. And the whole benefited from each individual's life. They were all together in harmony. And how important it is for our church to keep the harmony that we have enjoyed over the past year. It is so important. It is important that each of us have a private, personal, devotional life with the Holy Spirit, with the Lord Jesus Christ. That it's not just when we come to church that we crack open our Bible or offer up a prayer or engage in a song. It's something that is part of our daily life. We are praying without ceasing. We are ever rejoicing. There's another verse, rejoice evermore. We're ever praising the Lord. We're ever praying in the Spirit. And we're ever reaching out with the love of Jesus Christ. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to read about some amazing things that these people did, that this small group accomplished. And it was because they all gathered together and were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had control over each of them. There was not a one in the group that held back or didn't give his all or maybe slept in and maybe didn't really care and, well, I'll be there when I get there, that kind of a thing. You know, holding back and sort of dragging the group. These were people who were pushing forward because they were primarily motivated by their love for Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit, in answer to the prayer of the Son to the Father, descends upon these people and the church is born. This is what a church is to be. This is what we are to be. We are all to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we move forward, it helps us to understand, okay, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means you're seeking first the kingdom of God. You're giving Him first in everything in your life. Because if you're holding back, well, that's grieving the Holy Spirit. That's quenching His power. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be indulging in the flesh. We rather want to be walking in the Spirit. If we are going to be gathered together over the next month, and I pray the Lord over the next several years of this church's life until the Lord Jesus should return for us, if we are going to be gathered together in prayer, we must all be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must all be consecrated and surrendered to the Lord Jesus fully and completely. I don't say perfectly. The Lord deals with us in that way. But if our heart is primarily focused on the Lord, He'll help us when we fall and stumble. He'll help us to get back up again. And we won't be a drag on the church. The church will continue to move forward. But if it's going to accomplish the things we envision, if we envision, and don't you see people filling these pews, people standing in the back, people coming forward to get saved, people being baptized Sunday after Sunday, if you want to see the Ontario community blessed by this church, it's because you and me and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and we are a people of prayer, and we are a people who are completely surrendered to the Lord Jesus. We've got work to do. It's not an easy task that we have been called to at this church. It is not easy to reach out into the darkness and pull people into the light. They struggle against it. They've been blinded by the enemy. The things that we've been called by God to do are difficult tasks. But He has said, I will empower you. I will give you the strength. I will give you the tools. I will give you the power to reach out into the darkness and to pull people into the light of Jesus Christ as it is witnessed here in the church. Remember in chapter 1, what did Jesus say? Why was this power going to be given to His people? He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, there in chapter 1, verse 8. And then what's going to happen? What is the result of this Holy Spirit power coming upon my life, overflowing from my heart? What is the consequence, the result? What happens next? And then you shall be witnesses to me. You shall be witnesses in the city which you live, in the county that surrounds you, in the state, in the country. You shall be witnesses. The Holy Spirit comes upon you. That love of the church begins to grow. You're motivated by it to then go out, because you are motivated by love, to pull people into the light, out of the darkness, out of the clutches of the enemy. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you and me and this church, we will be empowered to be a witness in Ontario. We will be given that power that is beyond us to love those that perhaps we would never even associate with. I've heard somebody say this once, and it really caught my attention because I think it's true. You can look at a church and look at the people in a church, and in a healthy church, you tend to have people from different backgrounds, different cultures, sometimes even different languages, different economic statuses, and people who would never associate together in the world come together with great joy in the church. The rich and the poor, the black and the white, the people of all different backgrounds, they come together because it is the Lord Jesus that they are focused on, that they are serving, and he draws all men unto himself when he is high and lifted up. And so this is the responsibility of this church. It is a great and difficult responsibility, but we are given the tools to succeed. We sing victory in Jesus, and it's either going to be a song or it's going to be an experience. And we're either going to sing the song just because it sounds nice, or we're going to sing it because we understand the experience of it, that there is victory. Those flyers that we have been given out for people to take back to their homes, their offices, wherever they go, to hand at least two of them out, well, that's a witness. But the only thing that's going to drive us is the Holy Spirit within us causing us to reach out in love, causing us to say, you know what? I have found the Lord Jesus. I have found salvation. I have found assurance of heaven. I have found joy in my heart, and I want you to know it. Would you come with me to either Old Fashioned Day or on Salvation Sunday? Would you come with me? What drives us is love, and what empowers us is the Holy Spirit of God. And if we surrender to that, we will be blessed because of it. Our lives will then be filled with joy. So often we wonder, well, where's the joy in my Christian life? Well, are you living the Christian life? Are you serving the King? That's where the joy is. Joy isn't just in sort of keeping to yourself and never living. What joy is there? Not in living your Christian life. We find joy in service to our King. So we all must be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who gifts us with whatever we need. He gives gifts to the church. He brings people in who can, like my brother who does the singing here with Richie, people who can lead in that way. I can't get up here and play guitar, let alone play a piano or do all these kind of things. I try my best to keep along with the singing, and hey, I can tell you what page to turn to. So I'm glad the Holy Spirit has gifted Nathaniel and Richie, my mother, those who help with the instrumental musical aspect of the church, because I couldn't do it. He's gifted them to do it in the name of Jesus. Now, Nathaniel wouldn't want to come up here and preach a sermon. He's gifted my father. My father would probably rip the Bible out of my hand and say, I'll take over if you don't mind. You know, he's into that. The Holy Spirit has gifted him for that. He has a love for that. See, the Holy Spirit, he gives different gifts. You know, we have people in this church. I'm so blessed. You know, somebody comes in. If a stranger comes in here, you know, I don't have to think twice. I remember one time I tried to get up because I'm going to give them a hymn book or tell them what page we're on. I could hardly reach the first step without Martha or somebody else saying, oh, hey, welcome to church. Here you are. We're singing this song, and here's what we're doing. Making somebody feel like they're not a stranger. Because so often that's what churches have become. They're social clubs. They're dead to the needs of the world around them. They rejoice in the light, but they have no interest in bringing others to the light. We don't want to be like that. We want to be those who are truly gathered together in the love of Jesus, reaching out in his love and grace as well. And this church, it really does depend on you. It depends on me, you, all of us gathering together in harmony, and all of us being filled with the Holy Spirit and committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, I suppose I should balance that comment. Hey, God is greater than any one of our failures. And if there's someone here that ever wants to pull this church back where it used to be, I guarantee you God's going to give us the victory over that just like he has in the past. So I don't want to necessarily put it all in one person's basket and say, hey, man, everything rises and falls on you. But I do want to emphasize that the importance of every single one of us moving forward together for the cause of Christ. We don't want to see, you know, how mediocre we could be. You know, how far can we get if just a few of us keep going? We want to see how mightily used we can be when all of us are moving forward for the common cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they were all filled with the Holy Spirit in the Church of Acts. We want this church to be the Church of Acts in Ontario. And they began to do incredible things. We'll look at that next week as Peter stands up and preaches the gospel for the very first time. Well, hopefully it wasn't the last time. That's what we're here for, right? But we'll look at the very first time the gospel was preached when we get together next Sunday. Now we're going to pray, but after that we're going to enjoy communion together. So join me in a word of prayer and prepare your heart now to receive communion. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the promises that we read. Lord, we understand the challenges we face, but oh Lord, to see that we don't face the challenges without you, to see that your Holy Spirit is right there for us. He has a heart for us. He desires to do a powerful work in us and to come upon us and to fill us with his power, with his love, that we might do things we never imagined, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. We praise you in advance for how you will use this church as we are all filled with the Holy Spirit and moving forward in the harmony of that Spirit. So, Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for all that you will do. Bless these, your people, and bless us, Lord, now as we share communion together. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.